am Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell.
Mark Mother's Bathroom Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from Counting Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season four. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcast and join me for the story behind the song.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here, for checking out the series. You know what to do. If you like what you see, what you hear, hit that subscribe button. You'll get new interviews just like this one every single week. You can grab us Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give this series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. We've had some great guests drop by, including Hall & Oates, Justin Vernon from Bon Iver, Sarah McLachlan, Tracy Thorne from Everything But the Girl, Jeff Bridges, the dude himself, Finn Cole dropped by to talk about the movie Last Breath, as well as his role in Peaky Blinders. We hung out with Michael McDonald, Sophia Carson, Kyle Allen, and Sebastian D'Souza to talk about The Life List on Netflix. Ben Barnes, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, actress Lizzie Green. You might remember Lizzie Green as 1/4 of Nickelodeon's most chaotically named sibling group, Nikki, Ricky, Dickie, and Don. But she's come a long way from those tween sitcom punchlines. Now grown up, holding her own in more dramatic territory, Lizzie's been carving out a space in young adult thrillers, family dramas, ever-expanding universes. And now she is back in a Netflix series called Ransom Canyon. And for someone who wasn't sure Westerns were part of her journey, Lizzie Green sure rides like she was born in this saddle. We get to talk all about Ransom Canyon, where she plays the small-town Texas daughter of a sheriff with dreams of getting the hell out, which honestly, relatable. Lizzie's going to talk about drawing on her Lone Star upbringing, surviving cowboy camp in New Mexico, breaking her knee, doing cheer stunts, and her unlikely emo side, The Cure, The Smiths, and a little eyeliner energy in her next project, Sweating the Small Stuff. Speaking of music, we also get to geek out all over the show's unexpectedly perfect music picks, like Jose Gonzalez covering Massive Attack's Teardrop. All that and more as we get behind the scenes of Ransom Canyon, playing now on Netflix. It's Kyle Meredith with Lizzie Green.
Hi, Kyle. How are you?
I'm great.
Tell me about this wall of these records.
Well, we got posters of popular albums. Who's jumping out at you right here?
Oh, the Prince one, the firstly.
Not to.
Yeah, no, I only say that because I was just in my hometown, Dallas, and when I was younger, my dad gave me all these vintage records, and I put the actual records, like the vinyl, up on the wall with like a tack, and I look back on it, I'm horrified because it's all scratched up. It's like original Elton John. I'm like, ah. But yeah.
Yeah, I see stores do that, but like no one stopped you from doing this.
No one stopped me. I mean, my dad came in, he was like, whoa, what are we doing here? But then, you know, he's just like, I don't really care. He gave them to me in the first place. He's like, all right, just be young, do whatever. But yeah, it haunts me. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I'm real sorry. No, luckily this is just paper. Just paper. The records
right,
are nowhere near.
Yeah.
Hey, it's great to talk to you, of course. We got Ransom Canyon out on Netflix.
We do. It's very
exciting. What a great show.
Thank you, really.
Yeah, I didn't know what to really expect going into this, but I'm not kidding. By the end of it, I'm like, no, more, one more, at least one more episode. This is like, congratulations.
Thank you. That truly means a lot. I truly thank you.
So we have this Western drama, and it, you know, it's set in Texas. I mean, story-wise, as you mentioned, you're from Dallas. Like, how much, at least story-wise, is this a homecoming for you?
Oh my gosh, when I first got the audition for it, it's very rare. As an actor, it's very rare that you get something that you feel really right for. A lot of the times you'll get sent something and you're like, okay, I guess like I'll try it. It's in like the vicinity of, I don't know. Sometimes it's like an absolute no. Sometimes it's like, but this came in and I remember like for so long, my team would get annoyed with me because I was like, I don't know if Westerns are my genre. Like, I don't know if if that's, you know, I don't know if that's my journey in life. And I would say this for years. And then this show came in and I was like, it's, there's everything about it was just like almost perfect in my eyes. I come from like, my whole family's from Texas. Like, my dad went to UT. My mom was an Aggie. My mom used to be a cheerleader for NCAA. And so, like, I have that in my background. And everything about it was like, I have to do this. And so, so happy I did. So happy I got the job because I'm here now. But yeah, it's really sweet. And I really hope that it, you know, being a multi-generational show, it'll find its audience with everyone out there. And specifically for my native Texans, I hope that they feel very seen and they feel things are accurate to everything. And so, yeah, it means a lot.
You said something because you play this character, Lauren, who's sort of trying to escape. I mean, she wants to get out. Did you ever have that? Like, you know, we come from places. I've had this experience where, you know, where I came from, it took me, because I left, and it took me a long time to kind of give in to going back there
Oh,
at all.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Being an actor in Dallas, yes. Like I wanted to do Broadway. I wanted to, yeah. And so I think there's such a parallel there as well. Since then, of course, you know, the older I get, I grew up north of Dallas. And so my idea of Texas was always this like small town. I don't want to say small town, it's grown a lot since then, but this like town that I was from, there wasn't much to do. And so my idea of Texas was always that. And then growing up, you know, I've just had to have such a deep love for Dallas as a city now, and I go visit there all the time when I can. But yeah, growing up, you know, wanting to be an actor, wanting to do theater and film and everything, you can't do as much in that area, unfortunately. It's a very like industrial city. And so I think that there definitely was a parallel of like the hoping for more than this town has to offer, that kind of thing. I think that's a line from the show. But yeah, I think there was definitely like a parallel there.
Dallas is Texas, but Dallas ain't the country.
No,
Like,
yeah.
so like, how adept were you to like the cowboy life that we do see in it then?
I grew up riding horses here and there. It was never I have relatives that have a farm. My dad, like, you know, his mom grew up in rodeos and stuff. And so I have it in my family, but as far as me and my like what I've been privy to in my life, I didn't grow up totally around that. It is funny though, everyone when they think of Texas, they think of like, you know, going
Sure.
to McDonald's on a horse or like, why don't you have an accent? But
Like West Texas is what we're all
West
thinking
Texas,
of, you know.
yeah. But no, we definitely leaned into it for this role, for the show. Everyone did when we first got out there to New Mexico. They put us all through cowboy camp, which was a very bonding experience when you're like covered in cow poop and you're all like freezing on horses all day long. But it was truly so rewarding because that was really like our boot camp is they didn't, you know, they didn't pull any punches with us when it came to like taking care of these animals. And really like we were learning how to basically be cowboys versus just like, we're gonna put you on a horse and see if you ride well. It was like, no, you're gonna learn how to do this. And it's hard and it's but it's rewarding because you know you love the animals. And yeah, I think it was a really sweet way of getting to know each other in the
So
beginning.
you had to do this even if you weren't going to be doing that in the scenes.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
I was having a great time though. I eventually like I think I ended up being told that like, yeah, I think you're gonna be more in the cheerleading realm of this show. And I'm like, that's cool, can I still go? And they're like, yeah, sure, go ahead. But yeah, no, it was cool. It was also cool to go, you know, because again, I'm from Texas. My co-star Garrett's from Texas, but most of the other people there hadn't really been on a horse before or like hadn't had that much experience with it. And so it was also really cool to pop in every now and again and see just how unbelievably amazing they all got at it. Like, it's crazy.
The old adage, right? When in Hollywood, if they say, "Can you ride a horse?" you say yes, whether you can or not. But you're the one who comes in and you actually do know how to ride the horse. Like I grew up on a farm. I
Wow,
got
very
the cow
cool.
poop part, but I did not ride the horse, so I
Fair.
don't have that.
Oh
That's
yeah, but you can be like, you can say, yeah, of course, I grew up on a farm, of course.
See, I've
You
stepped
know.
in plenty of manure in my life.
Yes.
That's
Yeah.
about as rugged as I get, I think, that I've
Yeah.
actually stepped in it. That's
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Lizzie Green.
So where did you actually shoot it? Because you were in the desert? Is that what I remember reading?
We were in Albuquerque.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And so we would shoot in Albuquerque and Santa Fe a lot. But the great thing about that city is you kind of can get all realms of terrain. You can get desert, you can get mountains, you can get like forests, and not without a lack of many ranches. And so yeah, we got really lucky. I love that city now because of it.
Yeah. Like you're on a Netflix set, things are taken care of, but you're out in this element. Like, how exposed to the elements are you? Are you
Oh,
still like watching out for snakes and everything?
I was looking for the snakes. We did have a snake wrangler, though. That was really funny. A guy just would walk around with a bucket, and if he saw a snake, he would put it in the bucket. I don't think when I was there they ever saw a snake, but I always was like, "Did you find one today?" Because like I love snakes. But yeah, no, we were out there. I mean, you were getting bit by stuff. You were, freezing cold sometimes at times because the actors' strike. I think we were going to originally start in August. Pushed us to a January start, which meant that we shot right through all of the snow and, ice that Albuquerque has to offer. And a lot of times we would get snowed out some days, and so you'd lose an entire day of shooting because, there's 6 feet of snow outside. But yeah, it was really cool. But also, like, again, like it's like disciplinary. Like, you're shooting a show about cowboys, you gotta live kind of like a cowboy.
Luxurious life of an actor that people
Yeah,
take for
yeah.
granted out there. That's
Yeah.
because when you're out there, like I hear about that all the time. Like it's the fun thing, right? That you get to learn new traits or whatever. Like you're gonna be an action star, you go through the training, and suddenly you have that your entire life, and you get to be the S. But the other side of that is you have to go through it first, and
Yes.
that's not the easy parts.
Yeah, and I have like a thing where I don't like to try new things because, when you first try something you're not good at it. I'm like, "No, I don't want to try anything that I'm like not good at." But I'm like, you work through that because I'm stubborn that way. I'm very competitive. And so, yeah, that was an instance of like learning how to like really ride horses and all that stuff is like, okay, you work your way up.
Well, how about the cheerleading? Like, how much of that did you have? Like, in you beforehand?
So yeah, I grew up doing gymnastics,
Okay.
and I again when I got the role, I was like, yes, I can do all of it. Just like teach me, just like put me through some training again, and like yes, I will do whatever you need. And so yeah, after I finished Cowboy Camp, I started doing that more, and I was in the gym every day that I wasn't working, and that was amazing. That was like, yeah, I think that I just love athletics. I love sports, and so I really loved being able to work one day and then go in and like spend the day with like these local cheerleaders and like gymnasts in Albuquerque, and they were all incredible and they were teaching me. But that said, I was going to do all of my own stunts, but I ended up breaking my knee in rehearsal.
What?
So yeah, I took the most Looney Tunes fall. I can't even say it was something cool. Like I took much harder falls throughout like training and was perfectly fine, but the one where I just looked like spindly like a windmill, and then I fractured my knee, and so I was not able to do any of the
So
stunts.
wait, I won't give away any big plot points here, but there's you deal with something similar in the show.
I do another limb. It was another limb. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that wasn't written in there because you actually hurt yourself.
No, how funny is that? I should have been
Right.
like, you know what? Just make it a leg thing. But no,
Right.
it's yeah. Life imitates art, truly.
You got this great cast. I think nearly everybody involved is in a love triangle as far as the characters go.
Seems so, yeah.
Yeah. What's with the show in love triangles?
I think it's what people want to see these days. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like people love a little sauce, people love a little drama, And so I think that the fact it is very funny, the fact that every age in the show, we have our three core stories. Like everyone has a push and pull with someone while they're with someone else. And so I think that also is a testament to our showrunner, April. I think she wants to keep you on your toes. I think she wants you to think that, you know, oh, this could be happening, or maybe not. Maybe we like divert and go a completely other way. And so I think it's also a way of, you know, also I think once the show comes out, you know, we'll gauge what people like, we'll gauge what people don't like. And then that's how you build a great second season, if we hopefully get one. And you can like really toy and play with what people really wanted to see. Cause a lot of the time it is that anticipation of like, oh my gosh, like, are they going to get with this person or this? And so, yeah. Yeah.
I'm so glad life is not exactly that complicated. That's,
thank you. Yeah, truly. Yeah.
But you know, so I know you don't have to, but, correct me if I'm wrong. Like there are books, right? Like you could read ahead and see what sort of happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you?
No. No, I haven't. Only because I think in the beginning, the people involved were like, "Yeah, if you want to read it, but also like, you maybe don't read it because they want to." Again, like I said, they took inspiration from the story, but I think there's a lot of elements that are different, and so maybe don't read it so you don't get your hopes up that something can happen. I think I remember something. Someone told me, they were like, "Oh, in book four, you actually end up with this person." And I'm like, what? I'm like, that's so like, I don't know. And so I think that, and then I spoke with our showrunner and she's like, no, that's not happening. And so, I don't know. I think that they want to keep it kind of like, you know, us finding out along with the audience and like in real time when we get these scripts, how they're molding the story versus getting an idea of something that might not possibly end up.
Now on the flip side, then have you watched it all since?
Yeah.
Like there are so many scenes in here. I mean, geez, the opening is such a gut punch. Like right from the beginning, like was not set up for what was happening, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's, oh God, there's a tornado episode too.
That was so much fun. Yes.
But that's what I'd love to know too, because that might be the most intense episode of the entire season. Like, what was it like shooting this one?
So what's crazy about that episode specifically is in production, you sometimes will have something called a bottle episode, which means it's the episode where you were saving money. Would you believe us if we said that that was the episode we were actually like conserving like resources and everything? No, because it's such a big, like, it's so good in the way that they did it. Like, I mean, I think that's one of our strongest in the show. And yeah, it was so wonderful. I was so excited when I was like, hey, you're going to like bloody me up and like make me, well, I can't say that, but I was like, I was just really excited for all of the stunts in it because I think that, yeah, I just really, I love gritty stuff. And so I was really excited that, you know, we show a little bit more of that in that episode specifically. But I think that episode's also great because you get to see characters interacting with each other that normally might not have a storyline together. And it kind of jumbled everyone up and people ended up with people that they, you know, maybe don't have a storyline with at all. And then you get a new dynamic there. And I think it opens up a very fun, chaotic episode. And so, yeah, I loved that one. It was so great.
It was actually noticeable too. And I had that thought watching it because of your storylines, it does seem like everybody kind of sticks with their storyline.
Yeah.
So like, you've got James Brolin walking around, you know.
But I know.
Like, how often do you get to interact with the other sides?
When you're headed to Crafty and they just finish their scene and you're like passing ships in the night and you're like, you're great, I adore you, it's so good to see you. And then that's it. That's all you really see. But no, he was so nice. He's a legend. But yeah, it is very sweet, especially when you get to work with people that you might not have a ton with. Like Jack, for example, I don't have any scenes with him really in the whole show, but Jack's a really close friend of mine. And I think in an episode, I can't say in a scene, there is a big ensemble there. And we were all laughing when we watched it because there's like a moment where me and Jack were almost laughing at each other in that scene as the camera's like sweeping by. And we're just laughing because we're like, we're two characters. We're not even supposed to know each other. But it's like an Easter egg if you go back and see it. Like, yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Lizzie Green.
And I should bring up, you know, you've got, you're with Garrett and his character is sort of, you know, one of the love interests and everything. And Then I just see that you all are also starring in something else together, back to
Yeah.
back.
Yes.
How did
Yeah.
that happen? Because in this industry, you see people and you're like, let's work together again, and you never see each other again. And you've got this nearly back-to-back thing happening.
Yeah, I hope I get to work with Garrett forever. He's one of my best friends in the entire world. I adore him so much, and he's so present and incredible to work with, and you can just tell he has such a love for what he does. He's so professional. And that specifically came up. He called me one day. He was like, "Hey, this thing is happening by this director I respect so much. He makes incredible work. I don't even really know what it is. There's no script yet, but do you want to do it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure." He's like, "It's in 2 days." I'm like, "Okay, sure. Yeah, great."
God.
And so it ended up, we ended up connecting that night and like seeing the script and going through it, and we got to also both be producers on that, and so we got to like give insight and stuff, and it was so much fun. It was truly something I've been looking forward to since we shot it in November. This has been a long time coming. But yeah, I love that one specifically because it like taps into like I got an emo side
Oh, you're
personally.
totally made up in this thing. So different than what we
Yes,
see you
so good. I'm
otherwise.
like, oh, I just look like I listen to punk music. That makes me so happy. Yeah, so that was really cool. We are projecting possibly coming out in like June, end of June,
And this
but
is, we should say, sweating the small stuff, right? Did I get that right?
yes. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. But we're
Yeah.
so excited. It was so much fun.
And you're right. There's emo. There's almost like a Mad Maxian emo-ness to it.
Yeah,
Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something crazy.
Yeah.
And I know nothing about it, by the way. I only saw what little bit is out there, so it's
Which, to be
completely blind.
fair, kind of likewise, we have not seen the final cut of it. I think we're even going to do some reshoots for it in the next coming weeks to like add some more stuff to it. But yeah, our director, he's like, I want to hide my hand. I want to premiere it to you, like at this, like he wants to rent out this theater and premiere it. But he's like, yeah, I want you to see it then. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm down.
So we got the punk side of you, and we have this, more country side of you. Which one do you, are you closer to, if there, if that, if that's, if there's an answer?
It's very temperamental. I mean, when I worked in Vancouver, I was in Vancouver for 5 years, and I was deep into The Cure and I was deep into The Smiths, and I like that was my favorite genre. I actually just saw The Cure at Hollywood Bowl like a year
Incredible
ago, and
show.
that was the it was a light of my life. But so I have that side. Yeah, I think that's also, a personification of like rainy Vancouver and like cold weather and like, yeah, like that music. But no, I definitely leaned into my country, my Texas roots for this show. I wear my cowboy boots I wear on the show. They ended up just letting me have them at the end of production. I wear them basically every day. Yeah,
You
I
had great musicians too. I mean, Charlie Crockett was on this set at one point,
yes, yeah.
which
And
I'm a
Garrett is
big
a
Charlie
massive
fan,
country
yeah.
music fan. Yeah, Garrett as well. And so he was telling us, like, I think he's not even in that scene. He was at set all day taking photos. But yeah, it's really cool. I hope that we can maybe, if we get another season, get some more cool musical guests, because I know that that's like Easter eggs that the audience loves, especially if they're into this genre.
Yeah. Did you get to hang out that day?
I didn't know. I think I was, I don't know, maybe I was in the emergency room with a broken knee. I don't know. I that was one of those days that I missed. I meant to go in, but something came up, and yeah, but
Yeah.
I wish I was there.
Yeah. Oh, it is also surprising. We're talking about country, but I think that the music in the show is one of the things I found the most surprising, because there are the expectations that you would have for a show like this. But then I'm looking over here, like Jose Gonzalez and his cover of Teardrop.
Oh my
And
gosh, when I saw that episode, I love Massive Attack. I was like,
yeah.
you did not do a cover of Massive Attack. That's incredible. I know. Yeah, so I'm with you. I geeked out on the music a lot, and that specifically, that episode was like, oh my God, no way. It's so good. Yeah.
Didn't expect that stuff. And like Craig Venn and Leon Bridges is there. Of course, Texas Sun, not surprising, but still great to hear. And Ray LaMontagne and the Secret Sisters. Like, they could have done the obvious thing and just went like
Yeah.
country, but instead it
Yeah.
was sort of like rootsy instead, in the best
Yes.
way.
Yeah, I think that that's also, we were making a Western, we were making a romance drama, but I think they also wanted to make it seem just really, really cinematic. And I think they tell that story through shots. Shots are very like surrealistic almost, they're very wide, they're very like, you can feel like almost like you're there, despite this being a very small town. They make it feel very big. And I think also with the music, it's like, no, we're not gonna do the run of the mill, like, driving a boat, drinking a beer, like that kind of stuff. They're like, no, we want to make it feel like it's like, you know, that's the artsy side of this show. And yeah, they killed it. No, but I love that you brought up Teardrop because I geeked out with that. I was like, I think April was letting us see that episode. That was the only episode we saw in full, I think, before everything came out. And when that came up, I was like, oh my God, that's so...
One of the greatest songs of all time.
It's so good. Yeah, it's so good.
And just goes to show the layers of this show. Like I said, those surprising layers that's in there.
Yeah.
I really did. I enjoyed this season so much. I, as with you, hope for many more seasons to come. And everything else you're doing, because I got my eye on the don't sweat or the sweating the small stuff. That's it.
Yeah. Thank you. Have a great day. Really appreciate it.
And my thanks to Lizzie. Ransom Canyon is playing now on Netflix. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. You'll get new episodes just like this one sent to you every single week. You can grab a Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from the Mamas and the Papas, Joan Jett, Fleetwood Mac, Bjork, Air, Paul Weller, Matthew Sweet, Prince, Hooray for the Riff Raff, Lucy Dacus, Jason Isbell, Lucinda Williams, let's see, Sampha, Florence and the Machine, Panchico, Bob Dylan, Neil Young, Japanese Breakfast, and my interview with Ed O'Brien of Radiohead. You can hear this weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.